There it is. Into hour number three. I am Jim Rome. We are live in the ATL side of Super Bowl 53. I'm on Radio Row. Been here since Monday. We'll be here all the way through Friday. And then the game on Sunday. Telephone number is toll free. 1-800-636-8686. An enormous day on the row. And we continue now. We are joined by a Super Bowl champ, a seven-time Pro Bowler, six straight seasons of 1,300 yards or more, finished his NFL career with 920 receptions.
Yeah.
Yep. 3,382 yards,
yeah,
and 74 TDs.
Yeah.
ACC Player of the Year,
yeah,
consensus All-American at NC State,
yeah,
a member of the College Football Hall of Fame,
yeah,
class 2019. Torrey Holt, what's up, man?
What's up, baby? How you doing, man?
Dude, you earned that resume. I'm great. How
I
about you?
I appreciate that. That sounds so good. Did you was all decade on there as well?
No.
Add that.
All decade.
Because people go through my list of accolades, but they never mention the All-Decade. And I'm so proud to be on that All-Decade team, and here's why. Randy Moss, Marvin Harrison, myself, Isaac Bruce, Kenny McCartney. I mean, these are the kind of receivers in that era that was playing. So to be able to make that All-Decade team, man, is really big. And I love people to know that.
You got that for sure.
Yeah.
I'll make sure I say that next time.
No doubt.
You mentioned Kenny McCardell. Remember Kenny McCardell on one side, Jimmy Smith on the other side?
Man, you couldn't guard Jimmy Smith. Jimmy Smith was so good.
They were so different, the two of those guys, right?
They were.
In matchups.
They were. But they were one of the we talk about duos in the National Football League, Rice and Taylor, myself and Bruce. Reggie Rain and Marvin Harrison, Keenan McCardell and Jimmy Smith. I mean, they were just as good.
That's why I mentioned that. I think those guys are underrated. I used to have them on the show all the time. All right, Torrey, you were doing some work for CBS Sports Network yesterday.
Yeah.
You were dropping knowledge. You were doing a really nice job.
Thank you.
Let me start with Jared Goff. What did he show you in the way he handled that pressure in a really hostile environment in the NFL championship game against New Orleans? What did he show you in terms of poise and composure?
I just think with how loud it is in New Orleans, that's a hostile place to play. And all guys that's played in the National Football League, as well as coach, and even fans, know how loud it is in there. And as the moment got bigger, he got better. His legend, in my opinion, has grown. And if he can get this win on Sunday, it's going to grow even more. But I just like how composed he was. He didn't panic. The only time he panicked, and I mentioned on the show last night, the only time he panicked is when he had pressure and he was okay, but he looked at the hot and he got rid of it. He had Robert Woods coming back underneath on the post route.
Wide open.
If he just hangs in there, he gets that ball to him. That's 6 points. That was the only time in that game where he panicked. And there was plenty of situations where he could have panicked because of the situation, how loud it was. This dude remained calm, cool, and poised. And a lot of it has to do with just because of his makeup. He's a tremendous competitor, too, by the way. And a lot of it has to do with Sean McVay and how he has him prepared as well.
All right, so Torrey Holt joining us. What happens on Sunday? I mean, we've seen how he performs on a big stage, but he hasn't been on this stage.
He hasn't.
How do you think he'll do Sunday?
I think he'll be just fine. Just like I said last night, I think he'll be just fine in this situation because of what he's done up to this point with the offense, how he's learned, how he's matured. He's also making checks at the line of scrimmage, too. So there's a level of confidence there with Jared Goff as well. And Sean McVay is letting him run the offense. So I think he'll be just fine. He has a running game in Todd Gurley and CJ Anderson. It all starts with the offensive line, by the way. Great offensive line, by the way, with no Pro Bowlers, which is mind-boggling me. But that's another story. Really good offensive line, receivers with Cooks and Woods, Josh Reynolds, who's filled in for Cooper Kupp, who's been outstanding, Higbee and Everett. I mean, I can go on and on of talent that he has around him, but Jared Goff is locked in, and you have to be at this quarterback position because we highlight Tom Brady all the time about the poise, being locked in, being there in big moments. Jared Goff has shown that.
Torrey Holt joining us. Now, if we know anything about Belichick, we know he wants to take away what you do best.
Yes.
What do you think he's looking to take away? What's his priority on Sunday?
I would say run game initially. I think all defenses come into games, most games, saying we're going to take away the run. You're not going to run the football on us because it sets up so many things offensively. And particularly with the Rams, when you think about the play action pass, it's been a staple of their offense all year long out of that 11 personnel with the jet motions and all that good jet sweeps and all that kind of jazz that they like to do offensively. They're going to try to slow down that run game initially. If they can do that, then the onus goes on Jared Goff. And then we'll really see if Jared Goff is that deal because now he Now he has to drop back and throw the football, but he's got to do it. At some point, quarterbacks got to win games, don't they?
That's my thing.
Quarterbacks have to. That's what you get paid the big bucks for, right? That may be the situation on Sunday, and if that's the case, I, in my heart of hearts, I believe this kid can throw the football with the best of them.
Yeah, in fact, you actually set up the question, answered it myself, yourself. I was going to say, if they take Todd Gurley away and Goff has to beat them, can he? And you think he can?
I think he can, and he has the weapons, and again, the offensive line as well to allow him to do some things in the passing game. He can throw it underneath to Reynolds. He can throw it intermediate to Woods, and he can throw it deep through Cooks. I mean, he's shown you the ability to attack you on all three levels of the offensive football field, and you got to cover every inch of grass. Bill Belichick knows that.
Torrey, how did they make that work, by the way? We got so many guys that they brought in, guys that not everybody wanted to deal with, and the thinking was, man, it's going to blow up. It just does not work. It's going to be an all-star team. My man Trevor Price did a once-a-week podcast with me. I'm telling you, my man till the end of the year was like, I'm telling you, it will not work. They'll implode. That locker room is going to blow up. It never did, man. Those pieces fit, and they all work together in terms of chemistry. How did they get that thing together the way they did?
I think that message was sent to them when those free agents came aboard. You got to be on page with what we're trying to get done around here. We got an opportunity to be in the big dance, and they are. I think Sean McVay and his leadership, the same message every single week. Having a feel for these guys. He's only 33 years old. It's like
Thirty when he got the job.
It's like they playing with their homeboy.
Yeah, right.
But in a positive, professional way, he is taking their input and applying it. It's one thing to take the input and kind of shove it to the side. Maybe I'll get to it. When you start to apply the input that your players are giving you, they'll run through that brick wall for you.
So what makes that
guy? That's what you're seeing.
What's so unique about this guy? I mean, is it his ability to X and O, his intellect, or is it his ability to connect guys, get them to buy in?
I think it's everything. And the National Football League is looking for the next Sean McVay. But I've said
this. Is there another one?
I don't know. We don't know. Because of the things you just said, can they lead? Can they still call the X's and O's? Can they encourage? Can they inspire? That's other things that comes with being a head coach than just calling the X's and O's. This guy has the pedigree for it. He has a grandfather that coached. His dad played ball. I think he even said this morning in the press conference his mom played sports.
Right.
So it's in his blood to do what he's doing. He's doing it at a young age, and he's doing it very well.
And now guys are going to want to be here and play for him and play in that system. Torrey, when the Rams drafted you, I mean, what an amazing career you had.
Thank you.
But when they drafted
Excuse my language. I'm sorry.
We got you. We covered that. I'm going to this raggedy-ass team.
I could
well,
not
that raggedy-ass team was 4-12 when you got there.
It was.
I can see where you felt way.
That's exactly when they called my name. I'm like, I got to go play for this. But when I got to the St. Louis Rams in the city, I could not understand why they were a 4-12 football team when you look at the talent that they had on their roster. Now, we acquired Marshall Faulk and brought Adam Timmerman over. Trent Green came across as well from Washington with Mike Martz. So we added some pieces, but there was still Kevin Carter and Ray Agnew and DeMarco Farr, Keith Lyle and Todd Jones. Todd Light. We had pieces there. Isaac Bruce, Oz Akeem, Kurt was even, no, I don't think Kurt was on the roster, but it was talent. He was on the roster, actually, because Oz used to tell me how he and Kurt used to do it on the scout team.
Oz saying at that time?
He was saying how good Kurt was. He was like, T, trust me. He's like, man, he and I were hooking up because we ran those deep digs.
Right.
And Oz used to always tell me and Kurt used to run those in our sleep. So it was a good group of players, and I just couldn't understand why they were a 4-12 club.
And then it comes together. Mike Martz comes in and lays down the law.
Yeah.
Greatest show on turf. What about when Trent Green went down? I mean, you've heard this a million times. You've told the story a million times. But when he goes down in the preseason, Kurt Warner steps in.
Yes.
What was the entire experience like for you as a receiver?
Well, for me, I was a rookie, so I was upset because Trent was the starting quarterback. I mean, we went through training camp with Trent, and the ball, it was number of days, consecutive back-to-back days, the ball didn't touch the ground.
Mm.
I mean, Trent Green knew this offense because he was with Mike in Washington, so he knew this offense very well, and he commanded the offense, and he ran it as such. So to see him go down, to see our leader go down, I was disappointed, and I wasn't sure with Kurt.
Sure.
I knew Oz was giving me a couple, you know, was saying this about him, saying that about him, but no one really knew. He only got a few snaps with us. But when he got in the game, we never skipped a beat. And I think our style of play, the style of offense that Mike Martz had in place for us, fit Kurt's style. Coming from the arena game, it was get back, five-step drop, boom, get that ball out, ball thrown to spots, ball thrown in tight windows, and that was exactly what we did.
You get to the Super Bowl. You go up against the Titans, and we all remember that game. You get out early. They come back. You're up 23-16, 2 minutes left. Steve McNair and Eddie George go to work. They go down the field. As that drive was unfolding, what was going through your mind?
I'm like, I'm saying to myself, why we can't tackle anybody? Like,
do I have to go out there and do it myself?
Right. You know, Kevin Carter, who's 6'5", 265, 70 pounds, you know, holding on to Steve McNair. He's just ripping through that tackle and making plays. I just couldn't understand why we couldn't tackle. But we were gassed.
Yeah.
But I knew at some point, because of the conditioning that we did prior to the season in training camp, where we had two-a-days, we had live two-minute drills, live red zone sessions, time gassers afterwards. This was Dick Vermeil's era now. We were conditioned for the moment, and Mike Jones locked in, made an incredible play, and for him to show the strength and the smarts to recognize that play concept was just incredible. And Mike Jones was a guy who was a leader for us young boys, because I was a rookie. Mike Jones was a guy that would come in to work early every day. He had his briefcase. Some days he'd be in his suits. Some days he wouldn't be depending on.
Businessman.
Businessman as well as a football player. So that was my first visual of Mike Jones, and that showed me right away how serious he was about football and life, and he came up big for us to help us steal that game.
So people who don't know or don't remember, they get the ball down on the 10-yard line. McNair hits Kevin Dyson,
yeah,
and Mike Jones saves the day with a tackle right there at the 1-yard line. You knew what this guy was about. You knew the way he prepared.
Yes.
Probably that did not surprise you. But, man, Mike Jones walking around, you know how many lives that guy must have changed with
yes,
that one play
yes,
on both sides?
Absolutely. He changed so many lives. Obviously, For the Titans, and I talk to guys to this day, they still haven't gotten over it, just like I haven't gotten over Super Bowl 36. And then the guys that were on the winning side of it, it changed our career. It changed the trajectory of how we were looked upon. And to this day, we're in the record books as Super Bowl 34 champions that can never be taken away from us.
So do you think about the one that got away or the one you won?
The one that got away.
Yeah, right.
Because one is good, and we were a really good football team. That 2001 squad of the Rams was spectacular as well. And not to come away with that Super Bowl win, it hurts. One is good, but two is even better. Because now, one, you show you can do it. Two, okay, they're really good. Like, okay, these guys have the fortitude, the skill. They're really good to be champions. And then if you tag on after two, then you're on a whole nother level. But that two would have took us to a whole nother stratosphere for sure.
Torrey, there's no way you go against you guys this weekend, right? Who do you like on Sunday?
Rams, all day. Yeah, I think the Rams have a great opportunity. Obviously, former team. Love what the Patriots do. Ton of respect for these guys. This guy's been to the Super Bowl now 9 times, so you just can't throw that out. They'll be ready. They'll be prepared. I think the Rams are also prepared and ready to go, too. So I'm looking forward to seeing them hoist up the championship trophy at the end.
I did that resume at the top of the program. Do not forget, also, a member of the All-Decade team.
Yeah, man.
Torrey Holt.
Absolutely.
Torrey, so good to see you, man. I really appreciate you.
Thank you. Always, man.
Great job.
Yes, sir, man.
Torrey Holt.
Pleasure.
Ram great. Yeah. Torrey Holt, Ram great, and a member of the College Football Hall of Fame, class of 2019. Take a short time out. If you want to comment on that, you go right ahead. You know where to find me. Hit me up on the phones. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome, or just email us directly, Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. More from The Row when we return.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. We are live in Atlanta, site of Super Bowl 53. I'm on Radio Row. Nice to be with you. I'm Jim Rome. Normally when I have William McGinnis on, we talk Long Beach Poly. Always talk Long Beach Poly. My wife Janet is a big, big jackrabbit. Didn't get to it with Willie, but doesn't matter because I can get to it with this guy. A member of the Steelers, a Pro Bowler, 111 receptions, over 1,400 yards receiving, 7 touchdowns, 5th in the NFL in receiving yardage this year, played his college ball at USC, 62nd pick in 2017, played his high school ball at Long Beach Poly, which is a power, and he appears courtesy of Verizon. Juju Smith-Schuster. Juju, so good to see you. What's up?
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me. It's been a crazy morning, but it's a blessing just to be here. I mean, I wish I was in the Super Bowl praying right now practicing, but it's also good to be here and meet some great people.
Dude, you've had a crazy morning, but from the outside looking in, I've got to say, I don't think I've ever seen anybody enjoy a Pro Bowl week like you did, man. Signing autographs, messing around, shattering ankles when you were playing with the kids. What was the Pro Bowl like for you?
It was amazing, man. It was my first time, first experience in Orlando, and to see how many fans had my jersey, how many Steelers fans were out there representing, so much support. You know, I love it, and also taking ankles from those kids.
You know, it's all fine and well, right? It's all fun and games as you're taking soles and ankles from the kids until you get kind of dinged up yourself during the game. That's everybody's worst nightmare about that game, right? Whatever you do, do not get hurt. Steeler fans were concerned. Other fans were concerned. Bring me up to date. What did you first think when it happened, and how is the knee?
Well, at first, I mean, the game is pretty much the offense is just throwing the ball. And a situation where, you know, I kind of bang my knee, and I go back in trying to help the team out even more, bang it even more. But I learned from that mistake, and I was like, okay, good, I'm done. But right now, healthy, 100%, knee's fine, and I'm feeling great.
Would you keep doing it? It's not going to be the only time they call you. Would you go back and play in that game again?
Yeah, if it was a 7-on-7, yeah, I would definitely do it.
Seriously? Is that what it takes?
7-on-7.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Again, that's you don't want to get hurt there.
Nah, definitely don't. It's supposed to be more fun, relaxed, and chill. But they do put a little money on the line, so it kind of gets serious.
Right. People always will get serious for the money. That's why it's there. Now, you set a number of records as a rookie. You followed that up by finishing 5th in the league in receiving yardage, 6th in receptions. My man, it didn't look that hard. You made it look pretty easy. Was it?
Honestly, with all the pieces, you know, you talk about an offensive line that played together for about 5 to 6, 7 years. And you talk about a Hall of Fame quarterback. Those are the pieces that help you get to those 400 yards, six leading receptions. Those are the pieces that helped me get to where I'm at today. So it's also not that easy, too, but those thanks to those guys.
JuJu Smith-Schuster joining us on the row here in Atlanta. You know, it's not just the catching. It's not just the yards after the catch. You're a big-time blocker. Mike Tomlin has compared you to Hines Ward in that regard, which is pretty much the highest praise you can get as a blocking wide receiver. What is your mentality when it comes to blocking?
It's something I always embrace. You talk about an overall receiver who does route running, catches the ball, score touchdowns, but also blocking is very huge in my toolbox. Because I'm able to do that, I'm able to create more space. I'm able to play inside, outside, be able to block, you know, linebackers to DNs to safeties, corners. So, yeah, pretty much it's something I embrace. And it's awesome to get the compliment of Hines Ward.
Dude, not every receiver wants that. In fact, most of them do not want that. Where does that want to come from?
It just, I would say it's part of that, the Long Beach Poly Jaguar side, man. These are the tradition of always being hungry and going to USC to a traditional school and then a franchise like the Steelers and just make a name for myself.
So what about Long Beach Poly? I talk about this on this program. There have been a number of NFLers coming out of that program that make it to the league. What was the high school experience like for you, and what makes that program so unique?
It was awesome. Long Beach Poly, 5,000 students in high school. I graduated with 1,200 kids at my graduation. We started at around like 4, we finished around like 10, and it was pretty long because, I mean, so many kids, but a powerhouse school. We got guys like William McGinnis, Deshaun Jackson, like those guys went there, and to this day, you know, I'm able to keep in contact, and the network is unbelievable.
You know, I'm looking at your social game also. You're an amazing follow on Twitter. People are familiar with the videos that go viral, but also you drop some knowledge. Let me read this to you. Fact of the day, water is not wet. Water is a liquid that wets things. Wet is the condition of a liquid sticking to a solid surface, such as water wetting our skin. We cannot say that water is wet because it takes a liquid and a solid to define the term wet. My man, that's profound. How do you go about approaching Twitter? Is it just that it's something that's on your mind, or are you looking to be a little bit different with it? How do you approach that part of the social game?
Well, the whole social thing, I always approach it about, you know, football players are always posting football. Why not take it to another level? Let's get into something that's good, more conversational. Like you talk about, is water wet? Posting YouTube videos, you know, dressing up as JuJu Smith-Schuster with the Halloween mask, passing out candies on the street, just doing more stuff. Like it can't just be always about football. And I always see it as that side of, you can always do more and be more an influencer on other brands.
But so what about that? I mean, that's what they want to see from you, right? Fans want you to be locked into football 24/7. Man, don't ever think about anything other than your job in football. You're clearly not going to be like that, right? I had Baker Mayfield on earlier. He's a pretty good gamer, right? You're a solid gamer. In fact, are you the best gamer in the league?
I'm the best gamer in the league, no doubt. Whoever's out there, Baker Mayfield, if you need it, you got my contact, hit me up. We can settle this in Pittsburgh on a big screen in the stadium.
All right, so now your mom tells a story about when you got your first PlayStation. Did you hustle somebody for that PlayStation? How did you get that thing?
I did. There's some products that I sold, like Hershey candies, chips on the side, to make some extra money, and then basically saved up to get a PlayStation, and from there, it was just gaming my whole life.
Dude, was that the side hustle where you made some money, or did you hustle grandma to get that thing?
I hustled grandma, and I also sold, I was selling candies and chips to stores, like liquor stores, to ice cream trucks, and they were buying it. They're actually buying it.
Dude, why? Why were they buying it from you? I got to think that liquor store on the corner had a supplier already for M&Ms.
I think, you know, just being a kid, being young, being around the city, they've seen me multiple times. They just wanted to support.
You were hustling, dude, early on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is there something too? Is there a law that says you can't be a Pro Bowl receiver and do other things off the field?
There is not a law. There is not a law. I think I'm trying to get more guys involved in it. I think every athlete should have a YouTube channel that's built to their personality.
We're talking to Juju Smith-Schuster. Juju, this is the favorite part of the interview where I ask you about Antonio Brown. Bottom line, where do you think that thing went wrong, and can it still be salvaged? Can it be fixed?
It definitely can be fixed. I mean, it's something that is going to take time, the communication between our head coach to the team. It just takes time, you know. Obviously, the situation towards the end of the season where, you know, he didn't finish the season because he had an injury, which is totally, you know, understandable. But I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he's staying, you know, black and gold, and he's going to finish out his career here.
How badly would you like to see him come back and be a Steeler next season?
Like, super bad. I mean, he makes the team better. You talk about the first time in franchise history, you have two receivers go for 100 catches plus over 1,000 yards each. Man, I mean, why not?
And if he doesn't come back, you're ready? Are you ready to be that number one? Put it on my back. I've got broad shoulders. Give it to me.
Oh, for sure, for sure. No, no doubt. I think as a young kid growing up, I always wanted to be the number one guy, you know, for every team. To this day, I mean, me and AB always talked about it, about being number one and two. There was really no number one and two. It was always the number one and number one. You have this side, I have this side. What can we do? Let's race to who can get the most yards, most the touchdowns, catches. What can we do for our team to make each other better?
So you got on the same page with Ben Roethlisberger really quickly. I mean, we're talking about veteran quarterback, right? Hall of Fame quarterback. How do you get a guy like that to pay attention, to get your respect quickly? How'd you approach it?
Make plays, don't say much in a huddle, and just do your job, honestly. And talk to him. Communicate constantly every day, day in, day out. No matter what the situation of the game is, always communicate with him. And it just makes life easier.
All right, so you're working with Verizon this week and their 5G technology. Here's the thing. A lot of guys say yes to pitch any product. Give me this check. I'll say what you want. But you're pretty much on record as saying you're only going to endorse things that you use, that you feel strongly about. Why is Verizon a good fit for you?
Man, Verizon is a great fit. Obviously, it's the best of the best. You talk about you could be anywhere in the world and you can, you know, get, you know, watch anything. You know, it loads up fast. But I've been working on this new product called the 5G. 5G is basically like this first-person experience where you put on these goggles and there's no delay in this product that we're working on. I actually just, you know, worked on this project where you throw the football, you hit targets, and it's literally like you could play with somebody being in different sides of the world. You know, you can connect with people, you know, wearing these goggles with Verizon, which is so awesome, man. This is the future product that's going to change sports.
Is it virtual reality? What's it like?
It's kind of like virtual reality, but it's not technically like virtual reality, but it's definitely something that works. If you got time, come check it out at Verizon.
Is it a trip?
Not a trip. Take a cart. I'm pretty sure you got it.
I'll figure it out, man. No, I don't mean a trip like that. I mean, it's the whole, but like the technology trip.
It's awesome. It's totally dope. I mean, you'll see it on my YouTube channel when I post it. I'll let you know.
I'll do it, man. You let me know. Juju Smith-Schuster appearing courtesy of Verizon, Steeler Pro Bowler, joining us on the show. My man, good to see you. Thanks so much. Have a great day. Hope we can do it again during the season.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. Representing Long Beach Poly. All right, we will take a short timeout. Bottom of hour number three. We'll come back. One last segment live on Radio Row in the ATL. I'm Jim Rome. Time for a bottom of the hour sports up. It's time for the ATP, the Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit a question there. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. ATP reads, Rome, I know it's a business trip, but do you ever make time for a social event or two during Super Bowl week? Do you have a favorite Super Bowl memory from all the years that you've been traveling? Tom in Minnetonka. You know, honestly, the answer is, and this does come up, because the week of Super Bowl, you have some of the greatest parties ever. Some of the best parties ever. And I try to do whatever I can not to go to any of them. Not because I'm antisocial. It's a blast. It's a good way to do business. But when I'm talking over the noise, just burns out my vocal cords. So I try and stay down. I try and stay low. So no, I normally do not hit that. Right, as promised, wrapping up the day, we are joined right now by running back for the New York Giants. He is a Pro Bowler, PFWA Offensive Rookie of the Year, 2,028 yards from scrimmage, 15 touchdowns, one of just three players in NFL history with 2,000-plus yards in his rookie season, set an NFL record for rookie running backs with 91 receptions, second pick overall in the draft, and appearing courtesy of Old Spice and their all-new Refresher Collection, Saquon Barkley. My man, good to see you, Saquon. How are you?
Thank you for that introduction. Appreciate it.
Dude, that's a long introduction, man, and that's only 1 year into the league. So how you feel, man? You're a big part of the NFC's comeback in the Skills Challenge. Let me start right there. Who impressed you the most in the Skills Challenge, and who talked the most trash?
Who talked the most trash? That's the easy one for me. Jamal Adams. That's
no way, really?
Exactly. That's part of his game. You know, you respect it, you love it. But we got him back at the end. And who impressed me the most? Probably I'll say Jamal Adams again. They had on the Skills Challenge, they had a part where he had to jump over walls and climb underneath. And if I was a betting man, I would not bet he would have done it as fast as he did. And he did a really good job.
Dude, after I saw him lay out that mascot, there's nothing I think that guy couldn't do.
Exactly.
Not only nothing he couldn't do, but nothing he wouldn't be willing to do,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
You ever think about doing that? I mean, doesn't everybody want to do that to a mascot?
No, me personally, I don't get that rush to go knock out a mascot, whether it's a Patriot or Eagle or Dallas Cowboys one. So you probably won't see me in my career running over some mascots.
Saquon
but I can't make
Barkley.
No promises. I can't make no promises.
Fair enough, man. Fair enough. How about the game itself? You played some defense. You played some defense. You got after the passer. What was that like? And when was the last time you did that?
Last time I did that was high school, my senior year. But the Pro Bowl game was fun. It was fun, very fun to interact with those guys and be on the same field with those guys. Obviously, the rain was awful and it sucked. But to be able to go out there and play defense and get a pass pressure, I did get a pass pressure. And I don't know.
You're proud of that?
Yeah, very proud of that. I don't know if I get any stats.
Dude, they can't take that from you. Nobody can take that from you.
And honestly, if it wasn't a Pro Bowl, I could have got a sack. Uh-huh. I could have dove for the sack. But obviously, you just want to take care of each other. And then I got involved with a little fumbleitis, I guess you can say, which was also dope.
Dude, I bet you wanted that badly. This guy, like, it's unspoken. It's understood that there's kind of an agreement among guys what you do on that day. But, man, when that sack is staring you in the eye and right in front of you, how badly did you want that?
Bad. Right. Like part of me just want to dive out and make the sack, but at the end of the day, you know, it's a fun game, but you also got to understand that you want to protect each other. Obviously do it in a competitive way, but I shouldn't be out there, so I'm not going to be out there diving at someone's legs or knees to make a sack in a fun game, but a game, and when you put it in perspective, that doesn't mean anything for your team or his team.
I mean, like I said, the last thing you want is to get hurt or to hurt somebody else. And Juju Smith-Schuster was just up here when he got hurt, man. That had to be the scariest thing ever for the Steelers and their fans, right? I mean, for who? For what? Yeah, I mean, you want to respect the game, but...
Yeah, you want to respect the game, definitely. You want to have fun, and you want to be competitive. Because at the end of the day, we're just all athletes and competitors, and we compete at a high level. But when I heard that, obviously, I didn't read too much on it. I heard it was a knee bruise. So I'm just glad that it wasn't anything worse and that he's healthy. And obviously, I seen him over here. I was doing a little interview. I know he's healthy.
Dude, how funny was he was dancing while you were doing the interview,
yeah,
man. He's a funny dude.
I was trying to keep a straight face while he was doing it. And, like, all I see is, like, in my eyesight of him just dancing and smiling and Juju being Juju.
I was going to say, Juju doing Juju things. Yeah. Saquon Barkley joining us. How about that first touchdown you scored? An amazing 68-yard run against Jacksonville. What do you remember about that play and the feeling of getting into the end zone for the first time?
Yeah, it was amazing because they were doing a really good job in the run defense slowing us down. And I remember just talking to my coach on the sideline and talking to the other backs, and they were saying, this is NFL, be patient, but when they give you opportunity, you got to make them pay for it. And what better way to score your first touchdown than a 68-yard touchdown? Obviously, it would have been a lot better if we would have won that game, but it just made everything that I believe I was able to do. Just put it all in perspective, like, I still can do this. Obviously, you really don't have doubts, but everyone's saying this, everyone's saying that. The game's different. The game's that I only play one preseason game, not even. I play like a drive, so that was like my first real NFL game, and that just solidified that. It's just like college, and I can go out there and play at a high level.
Dude, I love that topic there. Hey, listen, it's the NFL. Everything is different. Everything is different. These holes close more quickly. You won't believe how much faster it is, this, that, and the other. Guys always talk about that welcome to the NFL moment, you know, either because somebody hit you harder than you expected or a hole closed up faster. Did you have a welcome to the NFL moment, or was it all pretty much smooth sailing?
Pretty much smooth, but I would say one would be a hit from J.J. Watt. I would say that would be my welcome to the NFL hit. It was just because we were running at a counter play to the left, and that's when you have two pullers, and he beat one of our guys to the right. So if you put it in perspective, like, I'm going to the left, he beat the guy to the right and still tackled me at the same time when I got the handoff. So that's how quick he got to me, and I was just like,
a guy
wow.
that size.
Exactly. And then you look at his size, and obviously he's been dominating the NFL for a really long time, and he came up to me after the game and gave me compliments and high praise. And, you know, it's just crazy when you see guys that you respect the game and you grew up watching them, and when they come to you after the game, it really, really holds a lot of weight.
Well, I think, again, I could flip that thing on its head. There are going to be guys who remember the first time they tried to wrap you up. As an example, Akeem Hicks, a Bears Pro Bowl defensive tackle, was saying, quote, "There's a play that he loves to talk about since we've been at the Pro Bowl where I tackled him. It was for a one-yard loss, but when I grabbed him, he was still driving me. I'm 330 pounds. The guy's got some strength. I think he's a special player," end quote. What do you remember about that play, and then how much did you enjoy reminding him of that at the Pro Bowl?
He brought it up first. I'm going to make that clear. He brought it up first at the Pro Bowl.
You're sure now?
I'm positive. But it was like a little joke, but yeah, that was a little, obviously it was for a negative loss, but I was letting him know that you didn't just manhandle me. I think he did a couple times during that game, but that moment right there, I was able to show my strength and push him back a little bit. But that was a fun game going against them. I remember we were in a goal line, and he was telling me, run right here, run right here. He was making a lot of plays. I made a lot of plays, and we ended up with the win. So that was a fun game.
Saquon, you're really comfortable. You're really comfortable in your own skin, and even in New York, because, like, New York's not for everybody. That's a microscope. That can get pretty hot. It's a gigantic spotlight. Not every player can handle it. What was it like for you in your first year playing in New York with the media and the expectation?
It was honestly easy with the media. I'll talk about expectation a little later, but with the media, because just be who I am. You know, that's the best advice people give to me is be who I am. Team first, have the same mindset of that, answer the questions right, and it's going to be easy for me. So that's why I believe it was easy. The expectation was easy, too, because I didn't listen to it. You know, I kind of just blanked it out. Like, when I mean blanked it out, obviously I saw it. I'm active on social media. I watch TV. I watch sports and all that stuff. So I seen what everyone was saying that I have to do. I got to do this. The Giants shouldn't have picked me this and all that. So I just blocked all that out and just focused on myself and focused on helping my teammates out and growing as a player and keeping my standard and helping me out tremendously.
So what's worse? I mean, being told, and you probably haven't heard this before, but being told, man, you suck, you're not good enough, you're not fast enough, you're not strong enough, or the flip side of that, being told over and over again how awesome you are, how great you are. What's more dangerous?
Dangerous is how great you are. You know, it's different. When you hear from people, it depends how the tone, how they say it, but a lot of people are saying, oh, this guy's amazing, this guy's that. If you don't have the right people surrounding you, and thank God I have my mother, my father, my siblings, my team who keep me level-headed and myself to keep me level-headed. That can go to a lot of people's head, especially as a kid, basically a kid at the age of 21. You have a lot of success in the New York market, in the New York media, where they're saying this about you, saying that about you. You can step out of yourself and you can become something that you're really not. And so far, it's still going to be a challenge. It's still going to be a challenge as more success come my way, God willing, but still got to stay true to who I am.
You're working with Old Spice. I'm going to ask you about that in 1 second. I want to ask you about a former teammate, though, Trace McSorley. He's going through the draft prep right now. You've already done this. What advice would you give him?
Be who you are. Be who you are. Everyone's going to say this and that and third about him, about his height.
And they are, right?
Exactly. Be who you are. The film's going to talk. The people that talk for you is going to benefit you too. Just go in there, show your IQ, and show that you're a competitor. And that's his biggest thing. He is one of the biggest competitors I've ever been played with, one of my favorite teammates. And I'm not just saying that because I'm biased, but I'm just letting you know, like, at the end of the day, you could take this guy, you could take that. This guy could be talented, this guy could have that quality, could have that quality. But if he's not a competitor, he won't succeed in the league. And that's the thing that I've noticed. from my first year. And there's reasons why a lot of people come to NFL and have all the talent, but they don't succeed at least. No matter if we're down 30 or we're up 30 or we're 3-13 or we're 13-3, Trace McSorley is going to be the same person no matter what.
So what's your response then to that rap that, yeah, the guy doesn't have great size, but he doesn't have a great arm either?
Competitor. He's going to make up for it. Tell him what he lacks, and he welcomes that. You know, I think that's what we're similar. Tell me what I'm not good at. Tell me what I can't do, and I'm going to find a way to get better at that. And he's going to train at it. I know he's been working really hard right now, training on what people are saying he lacks. And I'm a big believer whenever he gets his opportunity or wherever he gets his chance, he's going to show the world.
And listen, one more thing I want to ask you about. There's an amazing stat that flies under the radar. You became the sixth running back in history with 350-plus touches and not a fumble all season. Your running backs coach at Penn State, Charles Huff, was huge on that. What was his message when it came to fumbling, and then how much pride did he take in that stat?
His message was simple. The ball, the ball, the ball, the ball, eat, drink, sleep, all that, the ball, the ball, the ball. Obviously with great help from Coach Johnson at the Giants too, really emphasized on controlling the ball, because when you're able to control the ball and not turn the ball over, it gives your team a better chance to win statistically, or that's just how football works. So I've been fortunate enough not to fumble. You know, hopefully people don't jinx me and I can go a long time. Hopefully I can go my whole career without fumbling, which probably won't happen. But even when I do fumble,
is there a part of you serious when you say that? Like, hey man, I really would like to go into my entire career without putting the ball on the ground once. Is that possible?
I mean, why not?
Right.
I did it for the first year, so I proved I can do it.
One year at a time.
So that's my goal. Even though it could happen, but hopefully I don't jinx myself. But even if I do fumble, go back, watch film, see why I fumble, learn from it, and get better from it.
Saquon Barkley, my guest. You're working with Old Spice in their new refresher collection. It features 5 new body washes. How's it treating you? What is your favorite kind?
This one right here, I would say, the shea butter. I would have to go with that one, obviously, because it's real benefits and there's real ingredients in it. And on your body, it just makes you feel good. And I know people think football players, we're the jocks, we stink. I'm big on smell good and big on smelling good. So that's why I say that one's my favorite kind. And when I actually put it on, I love it. Feel good, smell good, play good.
So say that again.
Feel good, smell good, play good.
I had to update that. Feel good, smell good, play good. Saquon Barkley, my guest. Listen, man, I really appreciate you. You had an amazing year. Glad you stopped by. Always good to see you, man. I appreciate the time very much.
Thank you.
Saquon Barkley joining us here on the row. Feel good, smell good, play good, right?
Yep.
I got it, man. I got it. You don't have to tell me twice. All right, we're going to wrap this thing up. We had an amazing day on the row. More of the same tomorrow. I want to thank everybody who made this thing possible. Huge, huge day. Going back to hour number one, where we started off, we had Baker Mayfield. We had, in addition to that, I want to reset a few things for you. My man, John McLemore, stopped by. Juju Smith-Schuster was here. We had Carson Palmer. We had Willie McGinnis. We had Torrey Holt. We had Deshaun Watson. We had Marquise Goodwin. Saquon closing the show out. It's been a big day. And I probably do owe you a Masterbuilt smoker. Still trying to get that thing away. Or I can roll that over till tomorrow. This segment.
Oh.
Thanks, Saquon. You're good. No, you're good, dude. Good to see you, man. My bad. That's a superstar who's extremely humble. Extremely humble. Segment's brought to you by Peloton, a game-changing indoor cycling bike, which brings the energy of live studio classes right to your home anytime you want, winter or summer, rain or shine. With the Peloton bike, it is always the perfect weather to sweat. You can learn more at onepeloton.com, onepeloton.com. I got to admit, I did not bring my Peloton with me on the trip. I missed that thing. Love having that thing at home. Quickly, a look ahead to tomorrow. Brian Urlacher in hour number one. George Kittle in hour number one. In fact, right off the top, Nate Burleson, NFL on CBS colleague of mine, will be by in hour number one. Tomorrow, one of my favorites on Radio Row, Jerry Kramer, Jarvis Landry, Matt Ryan, Hines Ward, Chase Elliott, Dante Wilder. So tomorrow's going to be awesome. That's 3 down, 2 to go, and it's getting better and better. We got a lot of momentum. I want to thank everybody here who made this thing happen. All the CBS guys on location, thank you very much. The XR4TI crew back in Southern California. Dave Whalen just absolutely annihilating it this week. D-Dub, thank you. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. See you right back here tomorrow. We are out.